Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is April 17th, 2024. We're here to talk AEW Dynamite. Just a few days before AEW Dynasty, we have a prediction show coming from Stephanie Chase on Thursday. I am set to interview Kyle O'Reilly this week as things stand. Then on Sunday, I'll be here for the AEW Dynasty post show here in this wonderful studio in Lexington, Kentucky. The fella here with me, I believe, will also be over on Fightful Select afterwards as well. I am running a pretty fantastic contest over on my Twitter right now where you can get an opportunity to check out that show for free if you retweet and all that good stuff. We would greatly appreciate if you guys checked that out. Alex, how you doing?
Good, but I feel like I'm a bit of a close talker tonight. I feel like I need to, like, just I need to at least sit this far back from my camera or it's going to be weird.
So, I mean, that's the thing that I was telling Alex as we were on, like, preparing to go on the air. I was over in the other studio, which is literally just to my left. Like, I didn't even turn the light off in the other one. Like, it's a loft up here, and This half looks completely different than this other half, but I try to give you guys different looks, and I was like, man, I never use that studio and I need to use it. It has better audio equipment, it has better video equipment, to be honest with you. The scenery is a little bit different, if not better. Got my little laptop gimmick here, but I'm gonna keep trying to give you guys new looks in this new studio. But usually a lot of my solo shows are done here if Luis is producing. Speaking of our good friend, Luis, if you don't mind, send me the super chat document over on my Bengals Twitter, because apparently that's the only one I'm logged into on my laptop. Because a couple weeks ago, I said, let me log out of all this wrestling shit.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't.
Let me get off of Twitter.
We don't need to be on that anymore.
So, Luis, if you don't mind, I will drop you a message. But hey, if you guys are here right now, we would greatly appreciate it if you guys would leave a thumbs up, if you would send a super chat or a humper chat. That's how you get your question or statement read on the air. But right out of the gate, Alex, the thing that I loved about tonight, this crowd was hot. And not only was the crowd hot, they turned the damn lights on in the venue.
Yeah.
This is something I constantly complain about from an energy perspective.
Yeah.
Far too often on AEW TV, it feels dark, cavernous, depressing.
Like where I am broadcasting from.
Yeah, but you're not on national TV either.
That's true. I'm not.
So, I mean, I feel like it helps lift the energy, right, so to speak. I feel like it's helpful in that sense. And I think that that is something that, that really, it lifts the spirits of the program for me personally. When you see things like this, like what are some of the production adjustments that could maybe help get you more into the show? WWE's been doing a whole bunch of them
lately. Yeah, they have. And I think, listen, they don't have a patent on it. So anything that you can do that you're like, oh, that was great, let's steal that. I mean, I other people, certainly, bad faith actors will say they're copycatting, or they're, you know, oh, that's pathetic, they're just trying to ride the coattails of the other company. But no, if a thing works, like, make it your own. But I mean, like, the I'm not saying do the exact thing, but everyone universally praised Jey Uso leaving, running into Sammy, a little scene, and then Sammy entering. You can't replicate that every time because Sammy was in Montreal. But like a little bit extra, that those long shots following somebody from a backstage little scene into their walk into the arena, really cool. So find new and different ways. Hell, I brought this up with Kate. We were talking about how once they used to do this all the time on Collision. They would like interview people, like little snippets of you're facing so-and-so tonight, talk about that match. And then they go back and forth like that. And one time the last guy they were interviewing was Swerve ahead of his match for with AR Fox. And while he was talking, AR Fox flew into frame, started beating the crap out of Swerve. Swerve kind of tried to get away from him, and AR Fox continued to beat down through the hall, made a corner, and then went out the stage, and the fireworks were going off as he was beating up Swerve. Like, those things really get people into watching the whole story, because if it's just like, here's a thing, the match has ended, cut to an interview in the back, the people talk in the back, cut to another thing, commercial, back to the, like, it just feels like it's, you never have to pay attention in between anything anymore. This feels like now I actually got to watch the whole show because everything's going to be interesting. Do more of that.
So a thing I want to address, Ruby Soho came out after Dynamite and told Angelo Parker that she's pregnant. This is not a storyline. This is legit. This is legit. Ah! This is why she has been off.
Congratulations to Ruby Soho.
Indeed. Indeed. This is incredible. Great, great news for them. This is why she's been off TV for quite some time and why she hasn't been wrestling for a few months. And it's one of those things where, well, this worked out well for the story, I guess.
It did. They don't get into the mixed tag they were obviously building to, but that's okay.
Yeah.
This is a much better outcome than that. So,
yes,
yay!
This is much better. I'm going to tell Luis one more time, please pass along that document, Luis, to the Common Bengals W Twitter, because I can't log into shit from where I am, unless you feel like deleting all the super chats as I read them from my phone. But leave a thumbs up, guys. We would greatly appreciate that. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. And we got the AEW Dynamite show tonight that had, my God, what a freaking slapper this show was. At least the main event, man, unbelievable. We've already got a couple of super chats, humper chats. My weekly Alex is right about Jericho contribution. Oh, I'm going to battle you a little bit on that. I'm going to battle you tonight, at least. Ruby Soho is shoot pregnant. Yeah. Who thought that would ever be a term in which we use?
I'm trying to send you the document, but it does say that at Common Bengals W can't be messaged.
I'll figure it out. Okay, anyway, cool. I need to know, Alex, how is your, I mean, you know, you could also just drop it in the StreamYard private chat. That also works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually pretty useful. This is what happens when I switch studios all the time. Yeah, Alex, how is your house doing?
It was fine. Dumb thing where the downspout is redirected away from the house, and then during the winds it knocked a little extension off, so the downspout was entering directly into the window well of the egress window to the basement, and the seal on that window is crappy, so just started seeping in, and so there was just a lot of just random stuff in cardboard boxes got wet, but nothing seems to be like irreparably damaged.
Yeah,
we actually made it out okay.
Okay, good news. Well, guys, we mentioned AEW Dynasty this weekend. Bet Online, our great partners at BetOnline AG, will let you get in on the action. Now, there are some matches that I'm already looking at, and I'm like, okay, Ospreay, major favorite. Copeland, Kingston, Mark Briscoe, they're pretty sizable favorites. Julia Hart, favored to retain her title. Okada, a big favorite as well. Tony Storm, a big favorite. However, over at BetOnline AG, there are three titles right now that the betting odds have favored to change. There's Swerve, there's Young Bucks, which vacant title, and Kyle O'Reilly. Some big ones there. Alex, yeah, Kyle O'Reilly favored. Now, I think that Roderick Strong probably ends up retaining. If I had to pick one underdog on the show, that would be it. But you can pick whatever underdogs you want over at BetOnline. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They have the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and this goes across NBA, MLB, UFC, all kinds of stuff. They got great games over there as well. You can play poker, Texas Hold'em, whatever it is that you want. They got the highest credit card acceptance, and it's more than just an online betting platform. It's a focus on the player approach. Check them out. Only bet what you can. Please bet responsibly. But at World's End and WrestleMania and Revolution, I gave you underdogs that all won. I said Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. I said Sting. I can't believe he was an underdog. But hey, we gave him to you. And then Samoa Joe. I'm not as confident in Roderick Strong. But if I had to pick one, I'm rocking with Roderick Strong on there, because I think they'll probably go into something with Will Ospreay after this.
Is Julia favored?
Julia's favored right now.
Then I would say Willow. If nothing else, that it does seem like Julia is staying away from the ring right now, because they went home early on that Rampage match. Tonight, she barely got in at all. They ran an angle to make sure she didn't have to wrestle. And it feels like they're obviously setting up Mercedes versus Willow. So if Willow's an underdog, I'd say bet on Willow, but that's my thing.
Certainly seems like it. They were getting very creative there. 2LT Cole Photo says, Alex, you angered the sour gods.
I do that a lot. It's my thing.
It's so good to see John Moxley back. Holy crap. Like,
man, I miss that guy. Cutting promos, just being all fiery in the ring. It's great.
I mean, the last month, man, there's no Hangman, there's no Moxley, there's no MJF, there's no Omega, there's no Cole. As FightfulSelect.com reported today, they had to send Cole home because it was affecting the healing process of his ankle. There is no Britt Baker, there is no Jamie Hayter. That is down seven pretty strong names, you know what I mean? And they have picked up Okada and Mercedes and Ospreay. But you need a guy like Moxley. As great as it was that Adam Copeland cut that promo a couple weeks ago, that's a John Moxley job, I think. I think that is a – and he did that. He came out and he pumped up that crowd. He got that crowd to chant AEW. Yeah. And that's something that I feel like AEW needed after last week. They needed something like this. He talked about the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, which he won. First man to ever hold the world titles in AEW, WWE, and New Japan. An incredible accomplishment. Cincinnati just taking home championships. You love to see it. And then he calls out Hobbs for next week, and they got a little bit of history in Jacksonville. Hobbs turned on him there.
Yeah.
I thought this was a perfect segment, Alex.
Yeah. No, I can't believe I didn't – my brain didn't immediately go when I heard Mox was coming back. Oh, well, this is an awesome way to extend this Callis versus, you know, Ospreay, yeah. Danielson, Callis for the BC, kind of, all that kind of stuff. Moxley and Hobbs is a really cool thing to do on Dynamite. I feel like this means we're getting Moxley versus Takeshita, and that's going to be great. You know what I mean? There's some really, really great stuff coming out of this. A lot of potential here. I mean, what's great is having the IWGP Championship on an AEW talent who works Japan,
yeah,
as opposed to the other way around. Forbidden Door is a brand new thing now. Like having the New Japan title on Moxley going into that, like who does he face? Is it one of those where there's like, okay, here's an AEW stalwart who doesn't work Japan versus a Japanese guy who comes in to try and reclaim the gold? Is it like a triple threat thing? Like there's a lot of really cool options they could do with Moxley at Forbidden Door. And if he keeps it beyond that, like does he carry it into Wembley? Like there's a lot of really cool stuff you could do with that, and he's the perfect guy for it. He is
perfect for it.
Yeah,
he is. He garners that emotion. He's got that cachet. Like people love him, and he was the perfect person to have here.
Yeah.
Mercedes Moné promo. Delayed Grat says Mercedes says when I'm healthy, she's not 100%. I think it's been pretty obvious that she wasn't, even though she got physical a little bit.
Yeah, she did one physicality thing, but
yeah, and something that I have highlighted in numerous Fightful Select Q&As is that when I found out about her coming to AEW, I was told, yeah, she probably ain't going to be wrestling till Double or Nothing, and that's the case. That injury was very, very serious. I mean, it required multiple surgeries. Yeah, she was just nowhere near being ready back when she was even negotiating with WWE. I mean, that's people were like, when I said, man, she is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. Like, you know me, Alex, I don't say she's not, right. He's not. I don't ever say that. Mm-hmm. I felt very comfortable saying that unless they pulled some like crazy smoke and mirrors, she was not going to be in the Royal Rumble in any capacity because she wasn't going to be good for it. She wasn't good for Battle in the Valley or Wrestle Kingdom. She wasn't good for Revolution. She wasn't going to be good for anything else. So, that's the unfortunate situation there. I liked this promo because it felt so much less robotic than a lot of her other promos. And she is not a strong babyface promo anyway. You know, we hear the Eddie Guerrero stuff and, you know, because I'm Mercedes and I'm Money, or I'm Sasha Banks and I'm the boss. And that era of promo where it's the Miz and I'm awesome, you know, that type of thing. And the delivery isn't usually there. I felt the delivery was there tonight. I thought this was much more natural. I think she is more natural as a heel, but how'd you feel about her promo?
I like that there's this whodunit with her being attacked in the dark, which obviously would suggest that's Julia Hart's MO, but it doesn't mean it has to be her. Could be Willow, could be Statlander. It could be Mercedes Moné faking all of us out, having somebody switch the lights off for her and then falling down and selling as though she has been hit to make it seem like somebody else has done it. There's a lot of really cool stuff they can do with a whodunit. Now you can also make it really obvious and then draw out the storyline for 6 months. But I'm hoping that's not what they do. I like all the intrigue around this. I like that there's a lot of stuff. I like that we're not really sure if Statlander is really Willow's friend right now. There was a lot of stuff where like Statlander happened to be absent when Willow got attacked a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of stuff right there. I'm not saying she is, but the fact that there's a possibility out there, we might be getting a little bit of a Stat turns on Willow thing. There's a lot of really cool stuff you can do here.
So Willow was attacked backstage. We got the House of Black defeating Adam Copeland and Willow as a result. Meet Normus says, I sneezed out all the horseradish sauce from lunch. Let's crank. We got 1.5 women's matches in story progression. when the injured return, woo boy. This match, I think, was a good example of how important it is to have a hot crowd, because this crowd was very hot for this match. They were there for it the entire time. And listen, Adam Copeland's run in AEW, when it started, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Man, this guy is out there having fun right now.
Yeah.
This guy is out there just wanting to work because he didn't get to for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I really, really love that. How did you feel about this match and how things unfolded with Willow forcing her way back into the match?
Well, when she was hurt, I was like, oh, damn, they really are trying to make sure Julia doesn't do anything to really hurt herself before this match. If anything bad happens and they're the Dynasty match, I guess they'll just go home and Willow will be the champion, because that's the plan anyway. But they really want to be able to get to that match. So, Willow's hurt. Oh no. Everyone's back there. We didn't see it happen, but who could have done it? And then we're like, Adam Copeland's got no partner, and Brody King attacks him from behind. I thought they were just going to go, well, now it's a one-on-one match, which is a way to protect Julia Hart as well. But she's just standing there on the apron during a handicap match that she's not legally allowed to tag into. This was very fun. And then, of course, you knew that during that, if that's the setup, that Willow was eventually going to come down to ringside. And yeah, this was cool. Julia getting in the punch with the chain, and then putting her unconscious form into the Heartless submission was a cool way to end it as well. I just love the idea that Copeland's like, oh man, Julia's injured. Can I fight Brody anyway? I really want to fight Brody King. Like, I'm Adam Copeland, and I miss wrestling so much that I must willingly subject myself to getting steamrolled by Brody King. It's what I live for. And I mean, like, how can you not love that guy so much that he's like, oh, awesome, I actually get to wrestle Brody no matter what. Good. That's awesome stuff.
Meet Norman says, I love Sheamus and BCC, but happy for the fella. Me too. Just glad that he's able to wrestle again.
Glad that he's able to wrestle again. That's one of those things. He says, 2 months ago, I thought I was never going to wrestle again.
That's the second time that's happened.
Second time that's happened for him. So I'm so happy he gets to wrestle at all. Because he is a lot of fun to watch.
Eloquent says, would the AEW title ever be held by a New Japan guy? I think yes, especially if it's the right one.
Right.
I think they could do like a short program like that. Tony seems mm-hmm. like the type of person that would be interested in doing something like that.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Jambeard says, I keep seeing people think that Stat was the one to attack Monet, but Sky hasn't been on TV for a few weeks. I think it was her who attacked Monet. I feel like it will be stuck within the Stat Willow universe, but that's just my prediction. Like, I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be interested, Jambeard, to find out why you think it would be Sky, unless you think that they're going to do some sort of team up thing as a result of it. Because to me, it seems like either Mercedes, Statlander, or Willow are poised for a turn, because I think they need that.
Hmm.
The Young Bucks interrupt FTR's video, and they said that the show is packed, but they'll air it on socials. This is
great.
A legit thing that happens in multiple companies all the time.
The inside baseball of it is really fun. And also, they're so good at playing the smarmy, it's too bad. You know how things are. But don't worry, I promise you we'll run it on socials. Like that kind, the boss who's apologizing to you while he's sticking it to you. Like, come on, it's a perfect read of that character. They're playing it to the hilt. I really enjoyed this.
The Elite then defeated Pac, Daniel Garcia, and Penta. This is after Okada cuts a little bit of a promo on Pac. Another really good match during the match, especially if you've got Fight TV or AEW Plus through Triller, Fight TV, whatever you want to call it these days, through NordVPN.com/Fightful, you would have seen Matt Jackson talking to the crowd, like sort of calling the match, which you saw a little bit of when they came back from commercial as well. I think they're killing these characters. I think they're doing great. I think this is them continuing to do what they do best. they take a criticism of the Young Bucks and they magnify it. They go, we do too many super kicks, huh? Well, we're going to do a super kick counter and we're going to do like 200 of them. Yeah. Oh, you think that we're rip-off Hardy Boys, huh? We're going to wear more tassels. We're going to wear headbands. We're not only are we going to be rip-off Hardy Boys, we're going to be the 97 Hardy Boys. Like, that's what we'll be. Like, yeah. I really like that they lean into the things that people complain about because, like, I just think that works well. And adding Okada in place of Kenny when you didn't know if Kenny win or if he'll come back, I think has been fantastic as well. Daniel Garcia taking the L. I'm hoping it's leading to something a little more substantial.
Yeah. I mean, well, him immediately being like grabbed up by FTR and saying, you know, thanks for having our back, kid. Now you get a tag with us again on Sunday is good as well. I still think there's a story in Garcia versus Copeland. It's weird to me. They immediately jumped to a guy who was not part of the Copeland story with when Christian had the belt. I thought Garcia was like, hey, you never beat me in that number one contendership match. I never beat you either. But now that you've got the title and Christian's out of the picture, I'd love to run that back for that title. And of course, Copeland would say yes, and then you do that. It, regardless of how the match turns out, at least you finished out that little loose end of the story before you introduce the Malachi Black and the House of Black stuff. So maybe they'll get back to it. If Malachi were to like lose a title match at Double or Nothing or whatever, maybe they'll get back to it in the summer, but it feels like there's too much time has passed. So it's interesting.
Ravon says, what if Mercedes has her own secret lioness? That'd be cool too. I think that she could stand to have somebody sort of by her side. Almost everybody does at this point. You got Chris and Chris and Willow. You've got Tony and Mariah. You've got, go ahead. Sorry.
It's a really useful tool for making matches as well. Because as we see with like the BCC, the Callis family, the Elite, well, you're scheduled to fight my guy at the next pay-per-view. So you are going to face, like that kind of a thing, like that, like back and forth, like members of the teams fight each other and it can be really good stuff. I think that you could easily do that with Mercedes Moné and grab up a couple of people for her. Immediately, the profile of anybody who is in her squad is raised. Somebody, I think now, after what they did with her in the ROH Women's Title Tournament, I think now maybe her profile is a little different and they want her on ROH exclusively. But months ago, I was like, as soon as Moné gets in here, put her with Queen Aminata. Aminata walking around with Moné, like that's the size of her, how hard she hits. Just imagine Moné on commentary just laughing and clapping as she just murders somebody. Like, it could be a lot of fun.
Jambeard says, Sky was a part of the storyline as well with her and Julia versus Willow Stat. Plus, didn't Moné hit her finisher on Sky when she debuted? Yeah. Yes, you're right. You're right there. I don't know if they have booked her into a situation where appropriately, like, that would carry the cachet. Let me tell you, as somebody that watched her face Alex Zane a few weeks ago, she could certainly have some fun in the ring. So I would love to see that down the line.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho brokers a meeting with Hook and Taz. So there are some issues that I have with this, but I got to say, I will be defending some of this. I came out of this significantly more interested than I went in.
Okay.
I wonder who told Jericho about the Jericho Vortex.
Because it wasn't him. Somebody told him about it. It is a thing. But here's the deal. You don't get to use that word. That is our word, okay? That belongs to us. You don't get to appropriate that for yourself, okay? That is not allowed.
Speaking of appropriating things, like, listen, I know Jericho fancies himself a Cher, Madonna, the reinventing guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like he tips his hand way too much by trademarking these items.
He really does.
You really telegraph it. Like the learning tree, it's like, there's the thing. Mm-hmm. But the one where I was like, that ain't yours. Rarefied air.
Yeah.
That is a Richard Holiday thing. Yeah. And I know that Richard Holiday has not been exposed to an AEW, TNA, or WWE audience, but he has been a main player in MLW for a number of years, has overcome some incredible things, and is working his ass off to make a dent in pro wrestling. And I'm like, that's his. Rarefied air has been a thing that he has said and a thing that he has done on MLW TV for a number of years. And I hope somebody smartens Jericho up to that. Hopefully he wasn't smartened up to it. Hopefully it's one of those, like the Dane Cook things where he saw it within his brain and tucked it away and didn't realize it. Yeah. And later on comedians were like, hey, that was actually mine. Hopefully somebody smartens him up to that. Cause I mean, that is a thing that, that belongs to somebody else. However, he got heat in this segment. He got a lot of heat.
He has officially been turned upon by the entire AEW audience.
Yes. And I got some questions. How much did they spend on White Zombie? Why did they spend it? Because I'm like, man, you could have just given Mikey Ruckus that money because he probably deserves it. But they got the heat on Taz, which is very smart because everybody loves Taz.
Everybody loves Taz.
And it's a situation where everybody loves Taz and they know that 20 years ago, Taz would have fucked him up. But Taz is the first person that will say to you, I can't do that anymore.
Right.
And he has never like given anybody a glimmer of hope that he's wrestling again. He has been the most doorish. Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shut guy ever, and he is very much like, here's my son, he's the guy.
Yeah,
I do feel like Hook could have been a little more aggressive about that, considering that was his father. But the crowd was there ready to watch Jericho get his ass whooped. Hook is not a strong promo yet, but I don't think that he necessarily has to be over. He can just be, get out of my ring, and it works effectively. Yeah.
Honestly, when he was he got over by just being silent and eating chips.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to cut long promos right now. Just like what do you say, Hook? Are you going to listen to everything I tell you and believe me when I say everyone who goes into the Jericho vortex comes out better on the other side?
It was so weird when he mentioned
It's an obvious abject lie.
Like, you mentioned people who were WWE world champions before they worked with him.
Anyway, what do you say, Hook? Are you going to listen to what everything I say is? No. And that's all he had. Honestly, that's all he had to say. And then when he shoves away Taz, instead of just getting up in his face, drop him on his head. Like, you're not cleared for physical contact, father. Just got shoved to the ground by Chris Jericho. It's time to end this guy. And, of course, we can't have nice things. There cannot be an AEW pay-per-view that goes by without Jericho on the card. So we're getting Hook versus Jericho. And, I mean, we already saw Hook beat Jericho. I feel like Jericho just straight up fully, like, healing it out, winning with, like, a low blow so that Hook can win it back from Jericho at Double or Nothing feels like the move. I don't want that to happen, but it feels like that's the obvious thing. We already saw Hook beat Jericho. Now Jericho has to cheat to beat Hook, therefore fully turning heel and admitting to it. And then Hook gets his title back after a very short time with Jericho. I don't want that to happen. I don't want Hook to lose, but I feel like they might do that.
And I'm glad that they've got the additional pay-per-views on the schedule, because now this isn't a situation where they got to stretch something from Revolution to Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
It is a quick turnaround there. Speaking of stretching something, it's not a sponsor, I promise. Bullet Club Gold cuts a promo about the Acclaim. They're going to do a winner-take-all match. Jordan Scott says AEW needs to bring some heat back on the trios division. There's two trios matches for Dynasty. One unifying the titles is on 0 Hour, while the other could have just been Copeland versus Black. Hope for actual plans post-Dynasty. Yeah, Copeland versus Malakai Black would have made a lot more sense. What would have made even more sense. What is it?
A lot more sense. Yes, I agree with you.
But also, that match could be on the pre-show. The title match could be on the main card. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Whatever. I'm just glad they're finally doing it. Consolidate some of these damn titles. We didn't need a Continental Championship to be added to all this stuff as well. Yes, consolidate some of these championships.
Yeah.
Acclaimed accept the challenge, and Anthony asks why it's on the pre-show. Jay deserves to be on the main card. End the Acclaimed.
Well, not just Jay, which I agree with. He deserves to be in the main card. But how long has this been going on? When did the Bang Bang Scissor Gang get together? Right after World's End, right? We're now in April, and this is the other thing. They unified in their shared hatred for the Undisputed Kingdom, because the Undisputed Kingdom immediately put the heat on Max originally by taking out Jay White, and he wanted revenge. And also along the way, they took out the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, so they wanted revenge. And they were both like, we want to kick your ass. And like, hey, we want to kick their ass. Should we all team up and kick their ass? Yes, let's do that. And then they never had a match with anybody in the Undisputed Kingdom. Not one. Not ever. So they've been doing the whole thing where they were best pals for a long time, and we've been wanting the breakup, some events, since before they actually got together.
Sure.
But we've been wanting the breakup for a long time. And we finally do this. We have to go through a Jay White gets his ass kicked by a guy on Social Security match to get to this point. And when they finally get around to it, it's on the pre-show. That's an admission of failure in not only this angle, but what you've been doing with the Trios Championships since the House of Black lost them at All In last year. They have been, you want to talk about a vortex. The Trios division is in a vortex. Like, nothing gets out of it. There's no fun stuff that's happening there. You have all of these great groups of people. Why are you not having, great Trios titled matches all the time?
And undercard matches to compete for those titles on top of that. Kyle O'Reilly, Roddy video package. I'm excited for this. This match is going to be a friggin' humper. Jambeard says, I kind of have a feeling that Hook will beat Jericho, but when Sammy returns, he'll be the one to beat Hook for the title due to Jericho interference. I would love to see Sammy involved with anyone besides Chris Jericho at this point. And to me, that's not even a shot at Jericho. That's a, he's been involved with him for 5 years now. Let him do something else. Yeah. Let him do something else. I loved Sammy Guevara as the hardcore wrestler. Like, Sammy Guevara was having some of the best hardcore matches I have ever seen in my entire life. Because he's willing to do those things. It's just a matter of making sure the other guy stays safe in the ring.
Yeah.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Super chat or Humper chat. Get your question or statement read on the air here at youtube.com/Fightful. Please subscribe. It helps us an awful lot. And don't forget, we are on podcast platforms everywhere. In addition to that, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We had exclusive news today on a new NXT producer, Adam Cole update. We had the NXT producer list, Corey Brennan doing a great job over there. We had the List Goes On podcast. That in addition to weekly Q&As, access to our Discord server, and quite frankly, the source of where most of the wrestling news in the world comes from. We're very, very proud of that fact. So check it out. It's only $5 a month or $54 a year. That's where I'll be at on Sunday chatting about AEW Dynasty. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Mariah May. I'm glad for many things here. Deonna getting the win. So it's not like, okay, she's done. She's gone. Let's move on.
Yep.
Tony and Mariah attack. And then Thunder Rosa mows down Luther.
Yes.
And saves Deonna. Just really mows that son of a bitch down. Luther has been phenomenal in this role.
He's been doing great.
He's incredible. Also, I don't know if you guys have seen him lately, but he's jacked. Dude is just jacked.
I can't tell under that Daddy Warbucks cosplay. I cannot tell.
I noticed it a couple years ago. I was somewhere. I think I was interviewing Thunder Rosa actually at the Talent Hotel, and I stopped by the gym, and there's Luther just putting up weight, and Thunder Rosa said, "To hell with that," and just ran over him. I liked a lot about this. I like Deonna getting the win. I like Thunder Rosa sort of getting her spot here. I do think that she loses on Sunday, and they can finally put to bed the she never lost the title thing. But how did you feel about all this?
There's a lot of intrigue around the Deonna situation, who felt like she didn't really get a fair shake against Tony, wanted another rematch, and then Thunder just came in and said, oh, I'll be taking that. And so heard the little shoving match that they got into briefly after Thunder did not save Deonna. She came in to attack Mariah and Tony Storm. But Mariah then pulling Deonna out of the ring to fight with Deonna Purrazzo some more. And then I liked the little bizarro world response to Tony Storm holding down Thunder Rosa and wiping her face paint off her face. Instead, Thunder Rosa holds Tony Storm down and puts makeup all over her face. I thought that was a cool little touch. I have to believe Deonna is getting involved in some way at Dynasty. So I think that probably whatever happens with that ends up costing Thunder Rosa the match in some way. I don't want an out and out interference or something like that, but they'll probably do some kind of distraction thing, whatever it is that happens, that will end up costing Thunder Rosa the match. So Thunder Rosa and Deonna will have like, here's what an awesome thing that you can do. You can have non-title feuds for the women. You can do it. You're allowed. And I think a great one that would command attention and acclaim for the matches therein would be Deonna Purrazzo versus Thunder Rosa. So you could extend Tony Storm's reign. Particularly now, it does feel like the only person who should beat Tony Storm for that title is Mariah May. Whenever we can get to that point, maybe it's at All In. Mariah May, like, earning a title shot versus Tony Storm, and Tony Storm thinking, well, obviously you're just going to lay down for me, sweetheart. And Mariah May is like, this is my dream. I'm going to fight you for the title. And like having that be a part of it. I think is the really poetic ending to that story. And I'm hoping that's what we get. But in the meantime, Deanna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa hating each other for trying to usurp each other's spots in that hierarchy is a great way to keep them both busy and have great matches on the side.
And then if you add in a wild Britt Baker at some point, things can get even more interesting.
If she gets cleared, like,
yeah,
a lot of cool stuff.
Orange Cassidy defeated Shane Taylor. Shane Taylor kept Shane Taylor Promotions from getting involved in this match, which I like. I also like Anthony Ogogo being involved with Shane Taylor Promotions.
Me too.
After years of him not doing anything, I think that's pretty cool that he's involved with this. Shane Taylor Promotions lays out Orange Cassidy after this because Trent shows up. And Trent has heat, brother. He takes out Daniels and Seidel and just allows the beatdown to continue. And I like this. Even though Shane Taylor didn't win, Shane Taylor Promotions gets over a little bit. I've been a Shane Taylor guy for like 5 or 6 years. Like, when ROH was in Toronto, they said you can interview anybody you want. I was like, I want Shane Taylor. And we did an interview at the Maple Leaf Gardens. I've been in on him buying that stock for a long time. I think that he's very good. He's a natural leader. But also, I think that his role in this feud, which obviously the Orange and Trent element of it is very important, yeah. I think is very good. Trent getting a win over Orange Cassidy here, I think will be big because they do not beat Orange Cassidy much.
Right.
This is not 2021 anymore where he's losing 8 straight title matches. Mm-mm. He is protected, and he is protected for a reason, because he garners the interest of fans.
Yeah.
I'm liking the Orange Cassidy Trent direction. I like Shane Taylor and Shane Taylor Promotions involvement into this. Daniels and Seidel, I'm like, well, I guess you're there, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, it's not Rocky Romero. It's not Chuck, because Chuck still hasn't chosen a side, which is interesting as well. That's some intrigue coming down the pike. I loved Daniels and Seidel running to help Orange Cassidy. After Shane Taylor takes two orange punches, the second one looked like it broke his jaw. Like, the way he sold it was awesome. So then they start beating up Cassidy, and then two guys who vaguely know Orange Cassidy and like, we shan't stand for this. Let's go get some justice. And then Trent like cuts him off with the chair, and Seidel, he just literally just pitches that. He pitched that chair at his dome. Like, Seidel, I was worried for a second that something bad had happened with the way he threw that chair at Seidel's head. But I think ultimately what this does is it allows some breathing room for Trent and Orange Cassidy to be a marquee match at Double or Nothing. Two AEW original guys. This has been a thing brewing for a long time. The breakup of the best friends, instead of like putting them on the Dynasty card with matches they will absolutely be overshadowed by. Like, if you give another month of really good buildup while Orange Cassidy is getting revenge on Shane Taylor Promotions, you have Trent in the background making sure that everything goes well for his cause, and eventually you get to that one-on-one Trent versus versus Orange Cassidy match at Double or Nothing, which is where during that match Chuck Taylor picks his side, and I feel like whoever's side Chuck Taylor chooses, That's the guy who's going to win. Really good stuff.
And while we're on the subject of pay-per-views, as I'm about to go into a NordVPN plug, but I would love it if AEW, as opposed to making like 4 or 5 hour pay-per-views, they take a couple of those matches and they apply them to Collision each time. The pre-pay-per-view Collision.
Agreed.
And make that like a big, big event. Because I remember when I went to the Minnesota Rampage, I was like, I ain't never doing this again. Because it was so inconsequential. I would love for them to make it like the pay-per-view weekend and then be like, here you go. If they would have done the Bang Bang Scissor Gang match on Collision, I would have been like, hell yeah, brother. Or
do that on the pay-per-view and do the other trios match as the main event on Collision.
Yes.
Like, and that then, would be a major selling point. Sure.
Then you could have done Copeland and Malachi on.
And you could also do Chris Jericho versus Hook on Collision and not on the pay-per-view. You could do that.
Well, regardless, guys, you're not going to want to miss AEW Dynasty if you got NordVPN.com/Fightful, because you can get those pay-per-views at an even more affordable price when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. In addition to that, they've just got so many other great features on this service. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? They've got 24/7 tech support. So if for any reason you can't figure out what you're doing or where you need to change your virtual location to get access to these things, they'll help you out. Right now, you can save big, get 4 months extra, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to try it this week, and then you're like, I didn't like this. Maybe it didn't fit you. Maybe you just couldn't get it. They'll give you your money back. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, but you can also get those pay-per-views at the same price they're paying overseas, which is significantly less. By the time you're, honestly, within a few months of using this service, it will have paid for itself already. Not only that, you can protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, airport, hotel, venues, all that. And it's available on all your devices, all operating systems, all that good stuff. Right now, I have NordVPN on this phone, this laptop, the computer that I'm streaming this from, the router that all of it's on, the computer to my left, and the work phone that I have as well. And it works on all those devices with one subscription. They got a password manager, a file encryption tool. NordVPN is taking care of you guys. And listen, now that they're showing these pay-per-views on Triller TV, it's even easier. It's even easier to use now. Jambeard says AEW could do with Tony and Mariah the same thing they did with Britt and Hayter and never even break them up. Have Tony beat Rosa, do a three-way at Double or Nothing. Rosa, Deonna, Tony, with Tony finally losing the title at Double or Nothing.
They could, but I feel like Mariah being the understudy who usurps the lead is a really great story. And
That's based off of? You would know.
A Star Is Born, right? No, not Star Is Born. It's a Bette Davis movie. I can't remember the name of it. I'm really I'm blanking.
Hold on, I'll tell you real quick. Let's see.
All about Eve. Okay. All about Eve.
Back in my day, we called that Showgirls starring Elizabeth Berkley. Okay. Same story. Anyway.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay defeated Claudio Castagnoli.
God, this was great.
This is one of the best Dynamite matches I've ever seen, man.
It's so good.
And when Will Ospreay was coming to AEW, I said that the value of him is that he was going to do things that nobody else can do. When you hire Will Ospreay, you are getting a guy who any given week can go out there and have a match and people will go, that's the best Dynamite match I've ever seen. And tonight was that. Vicky says, hi, SRS and Alex. Interesting show tonight. Dynasty seems so-so in some spots. Loved Mox. Money for my new man, Will Ospreay. Thanks for all you do. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And Will Ospreay delivered for you tonight, Vicky. This was an insane match. Like, I can't even go into the individual spots. Like, you can read the play-by-play or watch the match, but the chemistry that these two possess, there was no half a step behind.
No.
There was no, this was too ambitious for this particular thing.
No.
This was these two guys trying to prove a point to each other within the context of the story that, no, I'm the more physically athletic one, right, and also I'm going to get this pin.
Right.
This is brilliant stuff.
So what Claudio might be an almost, like, if you engineered the perfect opponent for Will Ospreay in a lab, it might come out to be just Claudio, because he's fast enough to keep up with Will Ospreay, and he's also strong enough to be a perfect base for all of his crazy high-flying stuff. Usually with Ospreay, if you want to have a really great base for his high-flying stuff, the guy is big enough that he can't really keep up with how fast Will Ospreay can move. But Claudio's fast enough to do that, and he's so strong that whatever Will Ospreay wants to do to him, he could take. So the unique spot that I will call out, because I've never seen this before, is Will Ospreay was getting the swing done to him and just sat up, grabbed him into a guillotine and dropped him into a DDT. It felt like I was watching Claudio audibly say to himself, "What the fuck?" Like, it felt like he had no idea what was happening to him because nobody had ever even been able to attempt that before. Whenever you see somebody do a move over and over again, usually they know what all the possible reversals of that move might be. No one's ever just sat up while having the big swing done to him. That's just impossible. Like, that was so cool that it was honestly part of why he lost the match, is because he was still bewildered that that was even a thing somebody could do. That was excellent. I thought that was an amazing.
One day he's gonna monkey to flip finish. Out of. One day he's gonna monkey flip out of that mid swing.
Yeah,
and Claude was just gonna spin on his way through there. This was so good. This was incredible. Afterwards, the story, as it pertained to this, worked out really, really well, because Don Callis and his team are, you know, trying to do their thing to Claudio, and Ospreay isn't having it. Like, he doesn't want to participate in these shenanigans.
I don't want to do this. Let's not do this. This was, I liked that a lot. And then of course, Takeshita gonna do a brainbuster or something to Claudio on the ramp. And then all he's trying to do is to get Moxley to come out so they can, you know, try and turn the tables on Moxley. But Moxley's not having it. So he comes out and immediately goes after Hobbs. Doesn't care. It's 1-on-3. He's Moxley. He's crazy. But Claudio is able to get back up. And so they run off the bad guys. And Ospreay's like, "I didn't want this. Why are we doing this?" And Hobbs is like, "Just shut up. It'll be fine." Just like, I honestly, there's obviously going to be a break in this Don Callis family. I feel like as soon as Mark Davis is back, we're probably getting a Fletcher breaking away from that, reteaming with him as for Aussie Open, and they'll be with Will Ospreay again, and they'll be breaking off from the Don Callis family. I think Hobbs probably goes his own way as well. I like, but basically that Mox saying that I'm going to beat you so bad, you're finally going to wise up and realize Don Callis is lying to you. So I feel like it probably just winds up being Callis with Takeshita by them, just as Takeshita's manager, until Takeshita turns face again by turning on Don Callis. But I think Hobbs goes his own way, and then Will Ospreay, all those guys break away from that.
And
so
I'd love to see, like, after Hobbs loses next week. Yeah. I want him to just be like dejected in the ring.
Yep.
And Callis helps him up, and then bam, spine buster. Mm-hmm. And then Hobbs is like, "Yeah, he was right. He did.
Yeah.
Look at that type of thing."
Yeah.
Jambeard says, "Not an AEW chat, but shout out to Bret Hart's daughter getting to ring the bell and beating her cancer." Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. Yes.
Meat Normus says that Claudio and Ospreay qualifies as a meat match. There was some flipping and spinning. This was a humper. 5 out of 5 pork chops in the Tokyo Dome. Do they even cook meat in the Tokyo Dome? I don't know. We had Samoa Joe promo. We had a Swerve promo. And Swerve's promo was basically like, I've choked. Like, Samoa Joe has said that I have, but I'm not gonna. And you know what? I want to address him face to face. I want to get him in the ring. And he certainly did. And this was a hot angle. And this is how you end a go home show.
Yeah.
Swerve and Samoa Joe have to be separated. And as the crowd, as the security card, which includes Calvin Tankman, are facing away from Swerve.
Yeah.
Swerve jumps off the top rope to the outside and stomps onto them.
Yeah.
Jordan Scott says Swerve stomped on that security like they were trapped in a Super Mario game. Assuming he wins this weekend, who do you want his first feud to be with? Love all the work that you guys do. I think a couple of easy bets are the returning Keith Lee or Hangman Page. I feel like it'll be somebody out of left field, though. I feel like it'll be somebody just right out, because I don't see anybody that they're just clearly setting up.
I mean, like, here's the thing with Hangman is, if Hangman comes back, it kind of has to be Hangman.
Yeah.
Because there's zero way he would allow this to stand. He would just have to. But I feel like I've seen a lot of Hangman versus Swerve, and there's so many other dudes that I want to see Swerve face as champion.
Where the hell is Wardlow?
I don't know, man. Wardlow should figure out a way to get in it.
I mean, he lost to Joe, and that's the last time we saw him. But still, I'm just like,
there's a lot of stuff. What the hell, man? I think that there's a lot of really cool stuff there. I mean, obviously, there's here's one. I the plan had always been in my head that Ospreay beats Swerve at All In, but I don't know if you want to take the title off of Swerve that fast. I just really don't. Like, he's just becoming champ at the end of April, and that would be a 4-month reign, which just feels so short compared to all the other ones. Not Joe's, obviously, but I don't know. It just feels weird. So if for some reason he doesn't face Ospreay and he retains it All In, to me, the play has got to be Danielson versus Swerve at WrestleDream in Tacoma. Both dudes from Washington State. Danielson versus Swerve at WrestleDream in Tacoma is perfectly placed, passing the torch. But both guys would be hugely over, because they're both, like, Swerve's from actually Tacoma, and Danielson's from Aberdeen down the road. Like, that's a perfect thing to do. So I don't know, man. We'll see.
I've been informed that Wardlow was on Battle of the Belts, which I have not watched yet because I was watching UFC 300, thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. So, I should probably do my fucking job. Tom LaValle says, Tankman versus the former Black Taurus, book it, TK. That sounds like a humper. Well,
that'd be great.
Several humpers come in this Sunday. Hope you guys join us. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter. I still call it that. I'll always call it that. At Alex Sourgraps. And on Fightful Select, doing shows most days. We'll definitely, we missed last week's collision. We're definitely doing one this week. I am.
Wait. I've been told that you don't do Sour Graps for AEW. I have been told. I have people in the replies of your WWE shows that go, well, if you weren't biased, you would do AEW as well. And I'm like, I think he actually does more AEW reviews than WWE reviews.
Yeah, I do at least as much. I'm, because it's the 3-hour block this week, I definitely want to talk about all 3 hours. There's some really cool stuff to discuss on that collision go home. And then we're going to be doing a Dynasty review. That should be a lot of fun. I still can't believe we're getting, I still can't believe that we're going to get an Ospreay versus Danielson match. It's incredible. It's a real thing. And then back with, we're in full dynasty. We're in full draft mode now. We're in full draft mode. I don't know what's going on. Who knows where anybody's going, but this is a fun time trying to figure out where people are going to go, how they're going to do it. It's been bad in recent years. I have faith they will actually be smart about who goes where this time. I don't know why, but I just need it to be true. Because I can't take another one of those years where they're like, oh, crap, we shouldn't have drafted there. Let's trade them for nothing 2 days later. No, not another one of those.
Shout out to new Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
I always liked the local team. Mm-hmm. Indiana Fever. Here we go, guys.
That's right.
Leave a thumbs up, guys. Until next time, we're out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.